Blog Talk Radio.
Happy to be with you on this Monday night. We got a new night, same show, same vibe. We ready to come to you and bring you live.
Oh, but you hear a rhyme, and she said, gonna be live. It's live and all 100% of joy and happiness. We want you to call in and enjoy us just like we are. The topic for tonight is talking real to you about education and politics. And the call in number is 347-857-4192. Let me say it one more time. I said it a little too fast for some people. 347-857-4192. You know, if you call in, we just want you to press number one, and we'll call out the last four digits of your number, and I'll identify yourself. Tell me who you are, and tell us where you're located. Then jump in with the conversation. As I stated, talking real to you about education and politics, the question, if most of you say, why should I take time to talk real to you? It is the only Pandora talk show in this country. There's no other country. And we're excited by having this opportunity. Lauren and I just thankful and Lord for giving us an opportunity to come before you again. As she stated earlier, we're not on Thursday night. We're now on Monday night, so we're still excited about being before you. So what we want you to do is make sure you're ready to join in the conversation. Now, if you just want to listen to the show by web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production. And when you do that, you can listen to the show, and you can hear exactly what we're talking about. But you have to call in if you want to talk on the show. Now, if you want to email me at lorazadsmith15@gmail.com. All right, let's get this thing started, Lauren. I'm very excited about having the opportunity to come before our listener again, and I know you are as well. One of the things that we wanted to make sure we focus on, we're going to focus on education. But I wrote a little question out, and the question is, why are our children failing at a chance for success? That's the question. I want you to join us with this conversation. Why are our children failing? Why we don't have a chance for success? There's several reasons why, and we're going to look at a couple things, and it could be where there's a lot of infighting going on between government and going on between the school system and your city government or your state department of education. But our first topic tonight is we're going to discuss the situation in Montgomery, Alabama, dealing with the Montgomery public school system. We're going to discuss why the Alabama Education Association represents all educators and retired educators, Dr. Ed Richardson, who's his interim state superintendent, over the sale of the Montgomery Public School, which is called George Washington Middle School. We want to talk about that. So this is a fight going on between the state superintendent and a local school board. Even though AEA is representing individuals that are employed by that school board, it's still representing the school board as well because they are employed with their education system. Lauren, you want to kind of just kind of start us off with some discussion on what you've been hearing among your friend, other millennials, exactly what's going on with this sale of George Washington Middle School to Pike Grove School System?
Yes. Well, the conversation that we're having, you know, every time I go to practice, every time I get with my friends who right now are working in the public school system, we've actually had the same opinion. We don't think it's an ill will by Superintendent Richardson. We kind of think he's trying to help MPS, and we think that it's an awkward way. It's not a normal way of doing it. So I think that's why he's getting a lot of you know, backlash from it. And also, we keep hearing this word, and I'm really getting tired of hearing it, that it's a racist move. Why they didn't try to close another school is racist. You know, I'm really getting tired of hearing that because we continue to overshadow issues with that word racism, and we turn something that isn't into something that is. So I personally, I don't believe he's doing it out of ill will. I think he's trying to help the school system. And sad to say, this seems like the only way that he can help the school system is to sell this property, which, in my opinion, it should be a Pike Grove school anyway. It's too deep down in the country. It's closer to Pike Road. I think you can send the children to other schools. I think they will be perfectly fine if you close that school and send them other places and actually sell that and put the money back into the school account and just try to rebuild a debt that they said that they have found themselves in. But we don't think it's an ill will. We don't think it's racism. We just think he's trying to help, but it's just not the normal way that other people would have said, okay, we're going to do this. But sometimes to get the best results, you have to go to the abnormal route.
That's all right. And see, my co-host, she's sharing the thoughts of the millennials. And here I am, I'm one of the baby boomers. So, you know, my thought process is a little different. I have no problem with saying I'm a baby boomer. I'm excited about being blessed enough to be a lifelong learner and a lifelong educator. So being in the school system, which I'm retired now over 35.8 years, it's only 6 years in Montgomery County, so I haven't been in this system long enough, and the rest of the time was done in other counties. But the issue really, as Lauren said, is not what the superintendent is doing and what considered to be a racist issue. However, because of the way the Pike Road town developed their school system, and if you have to know the history of Montgomery, the history is that Pike Road is really, really is in Montgomery County. And they decided out of a community to start their town and become they got the right to do. Don't get it wrong. But in the process, they want to keep their children and keep their money for their children that attend school. Remember, the money following the children in their town system. So they built a K-8 building for their students. Now they want to expand to have a 9-12. Now, that's where I'm a little confused at. And I'm confused because I think in these days and time, we're going into we're in 18 soon to get in 2020 because all these five-year plans are from 15 to 20, that the building would cost more money to get it up to par, which is George Washington Middle School, to get it to the point where it'll be dealing with what we have going on in our climatic conditions. Because our condition is extremely hot, proven thing. You look at proven fact is that you got several schools in Montgomery that falls up under this sale. See, we're only talking about George Washington Middle School, but there are other schools that fall. There's four schools that are talking about closing. and eventually they're talking about selling. They're talking about selling Dozier, which is a elementary school. They're talking about selling possibly Chittenden as one of the schools. And then they're also talking about closing Floyd Magnet and elementary and Floyd Magnet Middle School and elementary and selling that building. Yes, it'll bring money into the system, but in my mind, the problem is not selling $9.5 million for getting $9.5 million for George Washington, $4 million for Floyd Magnet, $3 million for a Dozier or whatever. It is once we get the money in, what is our plan? I haven't heard a plan. I attended board meetings. I haven't heard a plan. I hear a piece of a plan. The plan is we're going to close these schools. We're going to move these teachers around, or some teachers not going to be hired. Might not be a space for them. Some custodians. Some move these children from their area and move them over into a district that may be able to handle the overflow of. I mean, moving to a school that may be able to handle the overflow. So we still going to have a problem. So my thing is, when I listen to this situation, is it a plan of action that really been thought of, or are we just in a point that we're desperate? We're desperate to have money. Now, my question is, how have Montgomery Public School operated money-wise before? Why it is now saying that there's some sense of mismanagement? And I'm not going to say that directly, but it's not physical stable enough to operate. So we need to sell these schools and the other properties. See, that's not the – see, the whole picture needs to be put out there. I don't think the picture's being put out there. I just think the focus is on George Washington. It would be a focus if the interim superintendent didn't act as and got paid a large sum of money as a consultant for Pipe Road School. You can hire whoever you want to, but that's like you're going to take and put this person into your situation, gives him all the power because you gave him the power. I'm talking about Montgomery Public School, Montgomery Board of Education, gave him the power. Now he's making decisions that's going to benefit them. That's the question. Is it going to help everybody? We want our young people to have a chance for success. Is this going to give us a chance for success? If you can show me that plan of action as a solution, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about the problems. We know that's a problem. We got failing schools all over Alabama and other states as well. However, what is the plan of action? Once you sell these schools, how are you going to accommodate? How are you going to make the schools? They may get an overflow at Goodwin Miller School. You may get an overflow at Capitol Heights. You may get an even overflow at Johnny Carr. Johnny Carr is a new school, pretty much. Brubaker is not that old, but those other schools are old schools. You're going to take them out of that and still put them in conditions not great. It's not good for any child to be the children that there is not enough room for them, and they in such bad condition. It get cold. They got to walk around with coats all day. Something needs to happen. That's my thought on that, and I think there's some very, very, very major concerns about this plan. It shouldn't be just you throwing money out, and it shouldn't be where you get the persona of you working for someone else when you're really not working for those individuals. What I mean is that, yes, you're with the State Department of Education, truly, truly, but your hands are in developing that system. You also still have a connection with that system. So that's the thought process that we have going on. Lauren, you can add some other thought with that if you want to.
Yeah, the sale of some of those schools they put up for potential sale, a lot of those schools, I know for a fact, Floyd Middle Magnet is a school that needs to be renovated. So Floyd Elementary is a school that needs to be renovated. Dozier really needs to be renovated. So if you're putting those schools up for sale or trying to, you know, move kids around so you can renovate those schools, I have no problem with that because personally those schools need to be renovated. But if you're just going to close those schools and sell them for money and not invest back into them, then that's going to lead to a whole nother problem. We already have a problem with overcrowding in high schools. So at that point right there, now you'll have an overcrowding with other schools. Because a lot of kids, they said closing Floyd Elementary, that'll send kids other places. Closing Floyd Middle Magnet, they're talking about moving them into the old Houston Hill, which was Lamp building. They're talking about moving those kids over there. What if I, as a parent, I don't want to drive all the way over there? I don't feel safe with my child going to school over there, because a lot of people say that's not a really good neighborhood. I know when Lamp moved over there, that was a concern, that school was not in a good neighborhood. Thankfully, nothing happened while the Lamp school and why they were housed over there. But you have to come up with another plan. Okay, money is one plan. That's the problem. Come up, like Dr. Smith said, with a solution. I'm all about that. You present me a problem, I'm automatically thinking a solution. So my solution would be to renovate those buildings and put those kids back in that building, in those buildings, in a 2-year span. Now, if that's not their plan, then, you know, they need to go back and rethink, go back to the drawing board and get better ideas. But I think that should be the direction that they're moving in now.
That's awesome, awesome. We had invited a special guest tonight to join us tonight, and it's like I said, it's a family affair, and I have no problem. This is my sister. She's Dr. Olivia Smith, and she wanted to come on, and I have her on live now. Dr. Smith, do you hear me?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Dr. Smith, I do.
Hear me?
Yes, I hear you pretty good. I appreciate you taking time to come on. Like I said, when we play Mary J. Blige, it's a family affair. There's nothing wrong with having a family affair. I appreciate you coming on. We've just been talking, as you've been listening, about the lawsuit being filed by the Alabama Education Association suing the interim superintendent, state superintendent, Dr. Ed Richardson, over the sale of George Washington. Some of the people really don't really understand this until you have some personal investment. You have an opportunity. You want to share some thoughts about that sale and whatever else you want. Go ahead on.
Well, one of the things that I guess for me, it impacts me that they selected George Washington to purchase. And I think that educators, parents, as well as the citizens of Montgomery need to take a look at that, because when you're purchasing that land and that school, not, you're purchasing not for those who are in, but for another population of students. And so I think that parents should be very vocal about that. Who are we serving when we do the purchasing? And I think that area has a very strong historical component for African Americans, who, I don't know, some of the descendants may be still living. But, you know, you could tell me. I don't really know every detail about what's going on in Montgomery, but I know the school system is in crisis.
Exactly, exactly. And the system has a lot of work to do. I don't think there's any problem with the Board of Education willing to do the work. I don't think there's any problem with any employee, or even I don't think there's a problem with parents and the community, but I do believe that we need to get on the same page. I have an underlying statement, and I said it earlier. I said fighting between State Superintendent Dr. Ed Richardson interim and the local school board. Because this is a fight. Now, are we really fighting to serve our young people? Or are we fighting to serve ourselves? And that may not explain everything that's going on, but it explains it enough to say that fighting, it can't be good for the school system. Because sometimes people can't let things go, even if you come to some solution. Because if you get to the point where you got to file a lawsuit, even though I know Montgomery Public Schools didn't do it directly, but employees as well as the Alabama Education Association filed a lawsuit that was upheld by the district court, and then it was appealed by the state superintendent up to the Supreme Court, the Alabama Supreme Court, and it was sent, the Alabama Supreme Court voted in favor of the lower court, so he was sent back over the sale of it. So there, some other parties see this might not be the right thing to do. And that's Dr. Smith. That's a little bit of the picture. It's a lot more going on, but that's the issues that's centered around. And then you have your undercurrent. The undercurrent is Dr. Richardson worked as a consultant setting up White Rose school system. So why would you be working so hard to force a hand to have this sale? Yes, financially, it might be a great need. However, until you float a bond issue that could repair Goodwin Middle School, Capitol Heights, Robert E. Lee, Davis Elementary, Houston Hill, Dozier, South Lawn, it's a new school that still needs to be repaired. So that's what we're looking at. Dr. Smith, you know, I was trying to give you a little background on it. Like I said, we ain't all about just basic talk, but let me get our call-in number, 347-857-4192. Join us. When you call in, you want to talk and share your thoughts about what we're talking about, press 1. I identify the last four digits of your cell and telephone number. Then I ask you to tell me who you are and where you're located. Dr. Smith, you want to come back and add a little bit to that?
No, I want to listen a little bit more before I give more input.
All right, that's awesome. Thank you. But we'll still have you on the line.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us tonight and have some other topics we're going to talk about. But, Lauren, is anything else you want to kind of add on this thought process or add on this topic we're talking about? Really, I'm going to just say what it is, fighting between the state superintendent and the local board of education. You want to add anything else to that?
Yeah, parents, just stay aware. You know, try to go to the school board meetings. Try to go to the PTA meetings at the school. You know, so the message won't be lost in translation somewhere. Everybody can understand what's going on. Everybody can have their input in it. And no confusion shall be had, because I think now it's a lot of confusion of, like I said, you know, some people think he's racist. Some people don't. Some people don't understand what's going on. You have some that don't care. Their kids don't go to George Washington. They don't live in the area, so they can really care less. But at the end of the day, it affects the whole city, especially if you have nieces, nephews, cousins, brothers and sisters that go to schools that they're talking about potentially closing and selling. You know, I think everybody needs to stay aware and pay attention.
That's awesome. Thank you very much. Okay, Dr. Smith, I appreciate you adding that in there. You agree with it. All right, okay, we're going to move to the next topic. And the next topic is we had an incident. We had considerable number of incidents where we had guns in school and shootings in school. We, you know, as we offer in every one of our shows, and we didn't do it earlier, but we'll sit down. We offer our prayers to each one of those districts, those families, those communities where we had shootings to occur. We know we recently in Parkland, Florida. Then we have even more recently in Bearsville, but it's consistent. Now the question came up with the young people walking out and going there to the Capitol up in D.C. He was talking about guns, and one of the statements that came out about teachers carrying guns, you know, and I have my opinion about that, but I want my expert as well as my co-host to kind of talk about students may carry guns, but that ain't what we're talking about. Teachers carrying guns. Let me just add one thing. It said that the legislature will vote to have designated teachers carry a gun, so if an incident happens, you can have that person to deal with that situation. And I just want, you know, your thoughts on it, co-host as well as my expert. What do you feel about teachers carrying guns in school?
I think that's a real fine line. Teachers are there to teach. And I don't know, I straddle the fence on that issue, because I know there would be some instructors who have no problem carrying a gun in a school system or carry anywhere. But I think sometimes when you're in a situation with a young person and you're trying to maintain and that person attacks you in some way, form, or fashion, I don't know that everyone would not end up shooting a student just because that student had a smart mouth or was interrupting the class. I don't know. Although I want people to be protected, why can't we have more law enforcement presence in the school systems versus just teachers having to carry a gun? It's almost, for me in my head, it's almost unheard of. How can I teach you and think about a gun on my hip? But on the other hand, people are teaching, and how can I teach you and worry about my safety? So I straddle the fence, and I know that it's a critical issue, but I'm not on either side of that, but I do believe there needs to be a law enforcement presence in the schools at this time.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Thank you, Dr. Smith. Coach Smith.
Okay, I ain't trying to be funny, but I think this is probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's almost saying we're gonna sit here and say we're gonna equip the teachers with guns, but we're not gonna address mental health, or we're gonna equip the teachers with guns, but we're not gonna address the gun law. Come on, man. You trying to overshadow something by trying to fix the problem, trying to put a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. That's not gonna happen. Now,
right,
I'm gonna give you a scenario. Now, this is how I was thinking when I heard it. You got new teachers coming in. I'm 24 years old, so I would be a new teacher coming in. I come into an 11th grade classroom, and this classroom is rowdy. And one of the students start fighting. And he pick up a, I try to break it up, and he pick up a book and hit me upside my head. What I'm going to do? I got a gun. I can stop this right now. What I'm going to fight in there? Come on, man. We got to think about scenarios that could happen, things that can occur when we do and bring in solutions that, in my opinion, are not going to work. Now, a situation I think will work is you get security officers walking throughout the schools, put up the metal detectors. It was no way that the school in Birmingham should not have had metal detectors working the day of the shooting that killed that young lady.
Mm-hmm.
It is no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Montgomery Public Schools, for high school and junior high, they must have metal detectors plugged up every morning, and they must have them plugged up every afternoon when the students leave, because they don't tell them who could throw something over the fence. And all of a sudden, now you got a massacre at the school. I think we need to address mental health and also the gun law. There's no reason why people should be buying AR-15s, assault rifles of any sort. What are we buying those for? Even hunters, in my opinion, don't really need those. A Glock 9 can kill any animal. That's something that we need to address. And I think the president's silence on it and the president ignoring it is making it even worse. And for these kids to sit here and say, y'all are ignoring our lives, y'all are not paying any attention to our lives. We are losing our lives. 17 people lost their lives. One young lady lost her life in Alabama. 17 people lost their lives in Florida. Before that, I think they had, 18, 20 school shootings in 2018 before that happened? We got to become more aware and alert, and we have to put our personal egos aside and say, look, we got to better our kids and make our schools a safe place.
Exactly.
I agree. That's what schools are there for, education. And why should I, as a teacher, have to worry about, if I'm at a board, I'm writing something, you know, what is it that I should worry about when I turn my back? How can I teach you algebra if I can't turn my back to show you how to work a problem? And I agree. I think we need professional gun carriers. That means law enforcement on every level in those school systems. That presence needs to be known. We also need, I agree with what Laura said, having kids come through with metal detectors and come through critical areas. You cannot just go through any door in the school. You know, when I went to school, there were so many doors you could go in into the school system. But I think with these schools now, we're going to have to close down some of the entrance points, and you come through metal detectors to come in to learn, quote unquote.
And Dr. Smith, as well as Coach Smith, has some great thoughts about it. You know, I have a couple things I want to kind of focus on here. First of all, we in our school system, we do have resource officers who do not have guns. That's one thing we have to understand. They do not have guns, but they are considered to be, in a sense, a law enforcement on the campus. They're supposed to be able to be the one to communicate with the students. However, if you got a situation like what's happened throughout the country, those individuals have been through so many situations. We don't know what leads people to go out and come into school with Glocks and AK-47. We don't know what brain, but I always say gun does not kill people. People using gun kill people, because I haven't seen a gun just pop up and just shoot somebody. It has to be somebody who had, there's a safety mechanism on there. The safety is off. Even a child can handle a gun. My point is that it's either fear, or we working toward fear, or we working toward safety. It's amazing. I was talking in a conference this weekend. I was just talking with an educator, lifelong educator over in Georgia, and he said one of the biggest things we have in schools, whether they're public or private, whatever, but it's just dealing with young people, is fear. Everybody's fearful of the other person. So with this legislative act that's coming about, do you truly believe that you can designate a teacher and train them where they won't use that gun? Or, again, that example I gave on my live broadcast was a teacher who, by permit, had their gun in that glove compartment, and it was out for school. And they sent someone they can trust to go to the car, and the person rambled through the car, found the gun, and the gun ended up missing. So the point is, if guns can get in the wrong hand, when they get into the wrong, even a designated teacher in the law, as I read, it said the designated teacher have the gun, but a parent won't even know who have the gun. Is that good or is that bad? Where are you going to put that gun? If you're walking with it on your hip, you can't – just like police officer, you can't get close to people when they're in contact. When they fighting each other, you got to stand back, because you would put yourself and everybody else in danger with that gun on your side. So my point is, how are we supposed to handle this? Is it easy to talk about arming teachers? Arm teachers with the equipment to teach children. Arm teachers with the ability to keep schools safe. Arm teachers with the ability don't have the fear. That the ability not to have fear to teach children. Children got teachers on pins and needles. And it's because that we're not working with what we need to work with. We need to make sure we don't have fear in our schools. Schools supposed to be safe places. I can remember they used to have signs on schools that said, this is a safe place. A child can go there and feel safe all day. A parent can go there. Anybody can go there and feel safe. But we're getting to the point that our school is filled with fear. We're operating on fear, and that's scary. We're scary.
And that is a key point. We're operating on fear in the schools and, I guess, in our homes as well. That leads me to the other piece that Coach Smith brought up. She mentioned about mental health and how we need to look at mental health and take it serious, separate from the gun issue, because some of the students that we have who are injuring other students, we know have some type of behavior health issue, and those issues need to be taken serious and addressed, because young people who do not get treated in that age group, 18, 20s, early 20s, is usually when we start seeing more mental health cases. And we've got to be serious about intervention in our country. We have to be serious. And that leads me to the American with Disabilities Act. How are we implementing that in the school so that it gets We reach a goal for one student, getting them the help that they need, and we protect the other students. Ooh.
And Dr. Smith, let me just kind of jump into that. There are some schools that are doing some innovative things. They may be ahead of the curve, and I just know one or two of them. And I'm going to relate to this school, and this both of us can relate to it because we're alumnus of that school, and that's Senator Lemire High School, Senior High School. They made it possible, the principal and his team, or whoever it may be, made it possible in that school that they have a social worker works there, come in at 7 in the morning, leave at 4 in the evening time. She there all day. And when students start having issues, students have issues at home about the bringing to school, having a trained person, that not a counselor, don't get me confused. You got a guidance counselor. And I always said that how confusing the education is. Just because I went to college and got a counseling degree, I might counsel well on academics, but I can't do nothing with people. Okay?
Correct.
I can do a better way because we all are trained to do something. Counseling ain't just one big old piece of paper, a smack you throw on the wall, and everybody can counsel. I have a training in a certain area, just like an educator. I'm certified in biology. I'm highly qualified in biology, but I'm certified to teach lifestyle. But it ain't like that in counseling. And that's how I saw it work better when I was working with the at-risk students in Lyons County. We had counselors at the school, but we also had agency that sent counselors who was assigned students through the court system to come and talk with them, spend time with them. But I say innovation occurred now at Cindy Lemire Senior High School where they have a counselor who was a counselor for students down where I was in Lowndes County, now is full time. I know everybody said I can take that Title I money or whatever money and come out and do something better. What is that what we're saying about mental health? Don't we need somebody that not a school counselor, but a counselor who's been trained through our counseling service or got a degree in social work or either counseling outside of teaching? Don't we need that? It used to call intervention counselors or intervention individuals. Don't we need that?
Yes, and that social worker has a specialty in behavior health training. They're not just counseling. They're really looking at behavior issues. They're making recommendations, sometimes getting the psychiatrist involved with some of these students. But that social worker, which is critical, has training in behavior health or mental health services.
Exactly. And I want to, again, make sure I applaud Dr. Williams, Antonio Williams, over at Lemire, sending Lemire Senior High. He thought enough of his money, using his money. So that's what I don't call that mismanagement. I call that doing what's best for your young people because our children have a chance of success and we can meet all of their situations. They got situations
right at
home that create mental situations, and they bring it to school. Where else are they going to take it? You require them from the age of four to 17 to attend school. They have issues at home. They didn't sleep last night because mama busted. I heard this now. They bust all night. I couldn't sleep. So they come to school, what they going to do? Sleep.
Go to sleep.
They don't go to sleep. So my point is, now you see them as a problem for you. That's a behavior, isn't it? But you got to have a counselor who's able to get with them and even get with their parent and go to that home. You got to have somebody do that. But I want you to call in and join us in this conversation. The number is 347-857-4192. I really want everybody to join us because we was talking about guns, but we're going to jump to another topic right quick, and this is public school versus charter school. And what we want to talk about this, and I made a little note, and that note said chance for success. I thought the main goal was that our young people, given the necessary tools and an opportunity to succeed. I thought that was the purpose when we are going through our stages of maturation from 4 years old through 17. We're supposed to have an institution that gives them a chance for success. That's my question. The question, are we doing? Earlier, I had an individual who joined me on Facebook made a statement, charter schools aren't the answer. So I said, what is the answer? Co-host and guest expert, can you just kind of want to jump in on it? What is the answer? Because charter school is not the answer. Apparently, public school is not either. So my question is, you know, what are we going to do here? Are we willing to take a chance? Are we want to try something different? You know, have your thoughts on that, co-host, as well as my guest expert.
I'll go ahead and go. I agree with you. I think that that public schools, they've been failing our kids forever. So I'm at the point now is, can we try something different? If it's put together the right way and presented the right way, can we try it? Can we literally just try it? Because I come from a private school, and I can personally say that at the time I believe that public schools were doing way better than my private school. I can say that. But now it's totally different. I would put my child in a private school than a public school. It's not because of the environment, not behavior-wise. It's educational-wise. It's these kids are not equipped for the rest of their lives. Yeah, you just pass them through 11th, 12th grade, 10th grade, 9th grade. You're passing them through, but are you equipping them with things that they need to be successful later down the road? You can't say, well, they're just our responsibility while they're in the system. Why they're in the public school system, because at that point, you just saying, we're going to pass you on so we can get rid of you. And I'm seeing that right now as an example of a young man I'm mentoring. They're just passing him through. They're just getting him through the system. Man, he has a behavior problem. Yeah, he's not a dumb kid, but they're just passing him through. They send him to the alternative school just so he won't be in school with everybody else. And he really doesn't have a behavior problem. It's really the people he surrounds himself with. But as we went back to the last conversation, that has everything to do with the social worker being in the school and somebody getting to the bottom of this. Or why does young man act like this? He's not a bad kid, but the school system has failed him. They just pushed him onto the side, said, we're going to send you over here, and maybe you'll feel the lot. And it's really a disadvantage to him, and it's a disadvantage to everybody else if they're doing like that. So I think a charter school could help him. I think that's where he needs to be, because I think they could sit down and they could – it's a smaller environment, and he can really get the attention that he needs in the classroom. So I'm for charter schools. I'm for private schools. A lot of people say it takes money out of public schools. At this point, you know, they're trying to take money out of public school anyway. So how about we just try this one school? Maybe we can take enough out, and he can help. And maybe we can come back and help the public schools.
Woo, go ahead on. My millennial, coming at him. Come on, millennial. You're on them hard. That's what I want to hear. All right, my expert guest, you have anything you want to add to that? Because I have just a little bit I'm going to add to it in a minute.
I think the point is well taken. I can't add a whole lot to that. But when we have to look at, you know, three different levels of schooling or three different types of schooling, you know, public school, private school, and then the charter schools, I guess my thinking is, why can't we just have our public schools as a learning environment? Why do we need to create smaller classes? Why can't we do that in the public school system? I mean, you know, those are issues that are so important, and that's where our tax dollars should go, to educate and make room for students. And then if we're not doing that, why are we not doing that? Why do we have to create a third school system for the children? Being a tutor for this young man, you know, why is the school failing him? Not that you have to answer that, but why is the school failing him? Where's the social worker? Who's involved with this kid? That's critical. Critical. Why are resources not there to help this young man move forward as opposed to you just passing him along and he not getting what he needs. Because you keep passing him along, we're going to meet him on the street one day. Because the street will be better to him than the education system or academics.
Wow.
Unless he decides that he's going to push himself along. And do I have the resources to do that?
And I'm going to jump in right here, if y'all will. And I think both of the both of our individuals, and the guests and the co-hosts are saying some wonderful things. We got to understand one thing. Coach Smith is saying she's mentoring that person. But he go to school, he's considered to be a student with all the behavior problems. Why is he listening to what she has to say? You know, I'm going to say one thing, and then I'm going to leave just that part alone. Children care when they know you care. I think that's what's happening in our school system. They don't think you care nothing about them. So if they don't think, they're not going to do anything. And yes, mental health is so important. Identifying and diagnosing the right situation. You know, a lot of our students have behavior disorders, and we don't understand it as educators. We don't understand. We think every child has the same problem because he acts up in class. You know, he just bad. His mama ain't doing nothing with him. Some students have behavior disorders. And I always said that each one of these young people that I dealt with is at risk, and I created this, what they call a individual learning plan. In that learning plan, you have behavior contracts, you have behavior things as well. But they got other plans for people in special needs. Isn't that a need? The ideal is need. It should be special. It should be a need. He needs help.
Right.
He
needs
somebody.
It's a need.
It's a need.
It's a need.
And we overlooking the need because you know what we're looking at? We're going to make sure we meet what's required by the state to not be a failing school. I don't consider you a passing school when you I'm going to just use a cutoff mark. If the cutoff mark is 500, I'm just saying, I'm giving you a number, and you 501, what's the difference between 499 and 501? Are you a passing school because you got 501? And the 409 is a failing. I don't like when you do that. I have a problem with the way we evaluate students. Everybody don't take tests. Everybody don't do everybody don't perform in class like everybody else. We're grouping everybody, and then we're going to identify a whole school as a failing school. That means every child in that school is a failure. I don't know what other way you can say it. How can you say it when you say 14 failing schools in Montgomery? And every child that attends them 14 failing schools is a failure. Now, they say, don't think nobody care about it. Join us in this conversation, 347-857-4192. And it's just what we need to do, things we need to do. I want to hear that in the plan, in the intervention of Montgomery Public Schools. How are you going to address those issues? Let's not spend all this bad time fighting over the sale of a school. Why are we fighting over the sale of George Washington? Why aren't we sitting down knuckling up and coming up with ideas of getting social worker intervention officers, resource officers who can handle situations, not people walking around drinking coffee all day? You got to look for these people when you need them. They don't have any power to do anything. They can't stop nobody from really fighting. You got to have a police officer. Then the police officer can only do certain things. And people are not the same as they were 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, or yesterday.
I agree.
It's different them up. So you have to do what's best. Let's put solutions out there instead of focusing on the problem. It's been a month and a half talking about the sale of George Washington. Lawsuits being filed. The city of Montgomery, the mayor, everybody filing lawsuits. And the truth of the matter, you ain't come up with no way to come up with the solution. What you gonna get? Once you solve this problem, another problem is gonna take another 6 months or two. Charter school, You fight about it, but I ain't heard nothing to help these young people like the one Coach Smith mentioned. Because we want him to succeed. He can't succeed if he's not given the right tools to succeed. And I always had a problem when people said this. They don't want to do nothing no way. We come in and do all the things. But if you handcuff as a teacher, handcuff as an administrator, because your supervisor might not be equipped to do the job, but they wave their power around like they bullies to make somebody do something. You know, the thing about, you know, this old saying that I put in the book, and it was already a quote out there, you know, why not? Teachers are scared of principals. Principals are scared of superintendents. Superintendents afraid of board members. Board members are afraid of parents, and sure, they ain't afraid of nobody. Who they scared of? They ain't scared of nobody. Because you know what? The truth of the matter, I'm going to say this, and a friend of mine was telling me about a situation with their fifth grader. You know, the question, and I had to write a paper when I was doing my second doctorate, it said, are you smarter than a fifth grader? They ain't scared of you because they're smarter than you. Don't get mad. Just understand. You have to just have to stay one step ahead of them. And if you don't stay one step ahead of them, teachers, administrators, they're going to know because they're the great observers of people. Let's add some thought on that, then we'll move to something else right quick. My guest host and my co-host.
Oh, yeah,
Come on.
You go on,
Yeah. With the situation I was bringing up, it's the young man I'm referring to. He was moved from one school because we felt as if he was being ignored. And he was then pushed out to the side to another school where the same thing happened, and he ended up in an alternative school. Man, I don't think he might be sharing this, but he got to the alternative school, and I said, "Son, is it better? Are you learning? Are you becoming a better student?" "Oh, it's easy. They just give grades out over there." What? They just give grades out over there.
Ooh.
So now I'm concerned because I'm saying, they sent you here because you had a behavior problem, or did they send you here so you could pass and not go to summer school?
Oh.
Why did they send you
over here?
Now, that's another topic. We sending these behavior kids over to the alternative school because it's easy, so our numbers will not be affected when it comes to the summer school list that we have to submit at the end of the year. So I just want to give people that little insight that, you know, every child doesn't have a behavior problem. Sometimes he just wants you to sit down and listen to him. He wants somebody to understand that, you know, his house ain't together and that he feel like nobody cares about him. But the little time that I spend with him, if I can get him to see, well, man, that's not true. You know, he's an amazing athlete. You can try hard in school and you can get a scholarship and go and you can move forward from here and you can be a better person. That's what teachers have to instill in their kids. Your education can take you a long way, as well as athletics, but education can take you further.
Correct.
Encourage these kids to get a degree. Encourage these kids to take school serious. It's okay if they're in 11th grade. You can still encourage in 11th grade. It's no reason why. I'm going to tell this story, and I'm going to be done. We had a coaches meeting at Lee for my AAU team about a month ago. It was on a Saturday. And the sheriff's department did this initiative. It was doing spring break week, right before spring break. And they had this initiative where they were giving the ACT for free. They were giving you the ACT for free at a designated school. And this Saturday, they were at Lee. They had just kicked it off. They were at Lee. They had been broadcasting, announcing it, put everything on Facebook, sending emails to people's parents that were in the state system, in the county system, in the city system. So, in my opinion, I'm thinking 1,000 parents got it, which they probably did. And they were coming to the school, PTA meetings were being held, and they would come present this and saying it's free. All you got to do is drop your kid off. It's 4 hours. They could take the ACT, see how they score. Do you guys know it wasn't but one kid that was up there?
Ooh.
One boy was up there. One kid was up there, and the sheriff asked him, she said, "Well, son, what do you want to do when you go to school?" He said, "I want to be a mechanical engineer." He said, so this is the only way I can get there is if I come and take this series. He said, these 4 hours are nothing to me when I can possibly get into school for free.
Mm.
And that was amazing to me when she came in there and told us that, because I'm like, well, do you know how many kids live in that elite community? They could have came up there for free. They could have walked. But education is not being pushed in these schools. You are being, your child is being passed through. And they did it again, and they said, and this is the funny thing. We're talking about Pipe Road. Pipe Road was sold out. They did the same ACT thing in Pipe Road, and it was sold out. They had to move it to Hempstead, which is down the street from literally Pipe Road. It was around the corner from Park Crossing. They had to move it to the Hempstead Library because it was sold out in Pike Road. So my thinking is, okay, so why they can push their kids to come take ACT and we can't in Montgomery County?
Because
and
they know the value of taking the ACT. They know the value, and the value is impressed upon on the students. And that's the part in another part of the city where we have to enforce the value, because that's important. If I don't know the value, I will not take the ACT. If I don't know why I have to take it, then I just say I'm not going. But I have to be educated on the importance of an ACT. And what we instill in our kids on one side of town may not be pushed on the other side of town. And that saddens me. One person showed up because that one person ought to value.
Wow.
That one person.
And I'm catching my breath here because I have seen it happen like that before. We're down to probably about 4 minutes with the show, about 3 minutes now. So, but it's been exciting tonight. And you know, I don't want to cut it off, but we'll be back next week. Because our time is ending. Now, it was so exciting. I thank my co-host, and I thank my guest. Invite expert came in, and I don't want to cut the conversation off, but I know next time we'll go a little longer. But tonight, because we're coming back, we ain't through talking about this. We just only got part of this. And maybe next week you can join us. Those individuals call in 347-857-4192. And then you can add your thoughts. Maybe you have some thoughts about having one student at a free ACT practice and take and go in one school in Montgomery County, Montgomery Public School, and go at Pipe Road school system, and the room is so loud. Is it being pushed at home? But I'm going to stop right there and let my co-host share some thoughts before we leave, as well as my guest expert share some thoughts, and we're going to close it out for the night.
I think it was a great opportunity to be on your show tonight. I think the topic was spot on, and I look forward to continuation of this discussion and also having some other educators call in and give their input.
Exactly. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having
me. Coach Smith. Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you, Auntie, for coming on. Thank you so much for coming on, Auntie. I'm going to go ahead and leave y'all with this. We back Wednesday night live and direct. I can't wait to hear you and talk to you guys. Wiz and I will be sharing a lot of details of what me and one of my business partners have going on next, and we really want you guys to get invested in it and get involved in it. So, we'll be bringing that to you live and direct Wednesday night.
Coach, keep doing what you're doing.
Awesome, Coach. Yeah, you know, like I said, it's a family affair. We thank you for joining us tonight. We thank our guest expert, Dr. Smith, for joining us. Thank our co-host, Lauren Smith. And you know, I have no problem. This is all about family, and we're going to do it best. We're down to about 37 seconds. We always play our music when we get out here, but you know, if we don't get all the music on and the recording go off, I'm going to thank you. Now, join us on Wednesday night. Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for Talking Sports Plus. My co-host on there, be ready to go. We got 10 seconds to go. It was enjoyable. Have a wonderful night. Like my other co-host said, take the night or day, and don't let it take you. Have a wonderful night.
Keep up. Players only.
Come on, put your pinky